1961 to 1963, the Kennedy presidency, Camelot and crisis. When John F. Kennedy took the oath of office in January 1961, he embodied the optimism and vigor of a new generation. At 43, he was the youngest elected president in American history and the first Catholic to hold the office. His arrival in the White House signaled a departure from the gray, bureaucratic aura of the Eisenhower years, ushering in an era of style, youth, and ambition that would come to be mythologized as Camelot. The Kennedy presidency was brief, cut short by an assassin's bullet, but its intensity and symbolic power left an enduring imprint on American life. 1961 through 1963 was a landslide, a rush of hope and daring countered by missteps and crises that brought the world to the brink of nuclear annihilation and tested the nation's resolve to its limits. Kennedy's inaugural address captured the spirit of his presidency. His words, "Ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country," called Americans to service, sacrifice, and engagement in both domestic and global affairs. He framed the Cold War as the defining challenge of the era, declaring that the United States would pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, to defend freedom. This resolve would guide the Kennedy administration's foreign and domestic agendas, for better and for worse. One of Kennedy's earliest challenges came in Cuba, where Fidel Castro's communist revolution had overthrown a U.S.-backed dictatorship. Determined to remove Castro and contain the spread of communism in the Western Hemisphere, Kennedy approved a CIA plan, inherited from the Eisenhower administration, to invade Cuba using Cuban exiles. In April 1961, the invasion at the Bay of Pigs became a debacle. Poor planning, lack of air support, and Castro's preparedness led to the swift defeat of the exiles, humiliating the young administration. The failure emboldened Soviet Premier Nikita Khrushchev, who saw Kennedy as inexperienced and weak. The Bay of Pigs fiasco was a landslide of unintended consequences. It drove Castro closer to the Soviet Union, setting the stage for the most dangerous confrontation of the Cold War. In October 1962, U.S. intelligence discovered Soviet nuclear missiles being installed in Cuba, capable of reaching American cities within minutes. The Cuban Missile Crisis unfolded over 13 tense days that brought the world to the brink of nuclear war. Kennedy's decision to impose a naval blockade, euphemistically called a quarantine, of Cuba, coupled with back-channel diplomacy, ultimately forced Khrushchev to withdraw the missiles. In exchange, the U.S. pledged not to invade Cuba and secretly agreed to remove American missiles from Turkey. The crisis was narrowly averted, but the terrifying nearness of nuclear apocalypse left an indelible mark on both Kennedy and Khrushchev, leading to the establishment of a direct hotline between Washington and Moscow and the eventual signing of the Limited Test Ban Treaty in 1963. While foreign policy dominated much of Kennedy's presidency, he also sought to address pressing domestic issues. His New Frontier agenda promised to tackle poverty, expand education, and advance civil rights. Yet, Kennedy often struggled to push legislation through a conservative Congress, and his domestic accomplishments were modest during his lifetime. However, he set in motion programs that would expand in the years to come, including funding for space exploration, which he famously championed in his 1961 speech, committing the nation to landing a man on the moon by the end of the decade. Kennedy's relationship with the burgeoning civil rights movement was complex and often cautious. Early in his presidency, he was reluctant to alienate Southern Democrats, but the violence unfolding in the South forced his hand. The Freedom Rides of 1961, the integration of the University of Mississippi in 1962, and the police brutality in Birmingham in 1963 compelled Kennedy to take a stronger stand. By June 1963, he addressed the nation, framing civil rights as a moral crisis and calling for comprehensive legislation to end segregation and protect voting rights. This speech laid the groundwork for the Civil Rights Act, though it would take Lyndon Johnson to push it through Congress after Kennedy's death. 1961 through 1963 was also a period of growing involvement in Vietnam. Kennedy increased the number of American military advisors in South Vietnam and approved the use of helicopters and other advanced weaponry, hoping to stabilize the fragile South Vietnamese government. Though he was wary of large-scale military intervention, the seeds of deeper entanglement were sown under his watch, setting the stage for the full-scale war that would follow under his successors. Yet, Kennedy's presidency was as much about symbolism as it was about policy. The Kennedy White House projected an image of youthful elegance and intellectualism, hosting artists, poets, and Nobel laureates. Jackie Kennedy's restoration of the White House as a cultural institution, along with the couple's glamorous media presence, captivated the public. The press dubbed the era Camelot after the mythical kingdom of King Arthur, a place of idealism, beauty, and tragic brevity. The final months of Kennedy's presidency were marked by both triumph and tragedy. In June 1963, during his visit to West Berlin, he declared "Ich bin ein Berliner," offering solidarity to a city divided by the Cold War's most potent symbol. In September, he signed the Partial Nuclear Test Ban Treaty, a small but significant step toward arms control. Yet in November, as Kennedy traveled to Dallas in an effort to shore up political support, his life was cut short by an assassin's bullet. His death shocked the world, plunging the nation into mourning and solidifying his presidency in the realm of legend. 1961 through 1963 was a landslide of hope, crisis, and unresolved contradictions. Kennedy's presidency reflected the tensions of an era caught between the soaring dreams of a post-war generation and the harsh realities of a world teetering on the edge of nuclear catastrophe and social upheaval. His legacy would be carried forward by those who sought to realize the unfinished promises of his new frontier on civil rights, space exploration, and global peace, but his brief time in office ensured that his legacy would forever remain wrapped in myth, what might have been as much as what was. In the next episode, we will return to the streets of Washington, where the dreams of the civil rights movement would take center stage in 1963. The March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom would become a defining moment in the struggle for justice, as Martin Luther King Jr. gave voice to a nation's conscience with his unforgettable words, "I have a dream."